When you visit someone at their house, maybe for the very first time, what's the first thing you notice? Is it the yard? How big it is? How small it is? The landscaping? Maybe once you go inside the house, you notice a very cool piece of art or something. How many of you right out of the gate notice the door? Any of the doors, for that matter. Anybody? It's usually not the door is the first thing we notice. But I would say that the door is a pretty important part of our houses. Wouldn't you agree? How many of you leave your doors off the hinges? The door is pretty important. It would be odd not having a door. In the text today, Jesus uses a metaphor describing himself as a door to describe his work for us. A little context before I read it. It's in John chapter 10, as you can see. John chapter 9, a few weeks ago, I actually preached on when Jesus healed the blind man. Remember when he spit in the mud and put it on his eyes and sent him to the Pool of Siloam, and he was healed. He washed his eyes, and he was physically healed. Jesus also healed him spiritually as well, which is the more important. And we saw in John chapter 9 that the Pharisees cast this former blind man out of the temple, out of their sheepfold, if you will. And then we see here in verses 40 and 41, some of these Pharisees near Jesus heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." See, they are spiritually blind. The Pharisees are unable or unwilling to notice that they need a Savior, because they are too wrapped up in rules and regulations and themselves to see it. They are spiritually blind. All right, there's the setup. And now Jesus says these words in John chapter 10. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And this is God's word. So in verse 6 there, I'll just read it again. John puts this in there. This is kind of like a side note, a little bit of commentary here from John. He said this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. All right, I don't want to be one of those "they's." How about you? That doesn't understand what Jesus is saying here. So let's break this down, what Jesus is saying, into the following categories that I have up on the screen here. The first one is a sheep fold. In Bible times, sheep were kept in walled enclosures with only one door. I have a picture up on the screen here for you just to give you an idea of what these sheepfolds used to look like back in Bible times in Israel, in that area. So you would literally have to crawl over a wall if you didn't go in through the door. So this is the sheepfold that Jesus is talking about with this image in mind. So next thing he talks about is the door. He identifies himself as the door in verses 7 and 9. And notice that he did not say he is a door, but the door. So I looked this up. There's anywhere, depending on what you're looking at, between 4,000 and 10,000 religions in the world today. That's a lot of religions, isn't it? Tolerance is a big word that's used a lot in our world today, especially when people hear passages like this, where Jesus is saying that he is the door. Is God tolerant of those other religions? No, he is not. First commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. That's not tolerant. God does not tolerate that, regardless of what our society tells us. There is only one door, not multiple. And Jesus even reiterated this later in John when he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, the door. Again, he's not a way, he is the way. Let's go on to the next category. We hear about these thieves and robbers that don't go in through the door. So remember, Jesus here is talking directly to the Pharisees. Jesus was not happy with the Pharisees because they were not doing their job as spiritual leaders of God's people. Pharisees were teaching that salvation was achieved by obeying a set of rules and regulations that they had invented apart from God's law. They, simply put, they were not being faithful shepherds. You see in the Bible, all throughout the Bible, shepherds describe, Scripture uses, describes the spiritual leaders of God's people as shepherds. So we pastors are shepherds. That's what the overseer thing means. We are supposed to be shepherding a flock. So we have shepherd Headkey and shepherd shepherd. You could call him that now. Or shepherd squared. He couldn't be any other occupation. But that's what we have been called to do, to shepherd this flock, so to speak. And all other pastors are called to shepherd their flocks. But this thief robber goes beyond just the Pharisees. It goes to anybody who is teaching false things that has come along ever in the centuries. And basically, a false teacher is anyone that's adding to Scripture or taking away from Scripture. That's a false teaching. We either believe in the Bible or we don't. You know, this can kind of be summed up by saying, yes, we are saved by Jesus, and you have to do this, this, and this. There's people out there that say this stuff. I'm not making this up. Anybody that wants to add on to we are saved by Jesus and or but, that's a false teaching. That's not Scripture. This Bible passage isn't meant for nowadays, is what some people will say. This isn't culturally relevant. Pick whatever you want out of the Bible. Sometimes we are deceived into thinking we need to do this or that. I can't tell you how many times I've heard when somebody says, are you going to heaven or hell? And they will reply with, I hope I'm going to heaven. I've been a pretty good person. Well, guess what? That doesn't matter. God, I've said this before, God's not up there keeping a book on you of all your good stuff and all your bad stuff. And if your good stuff outweighs your bad stuff, then you're good to go. Nope. We are saved by Christ alone. Hard stop, and you can clock it. And this is what we teach and confess and believe. And the reason we can believe this is because of the gift of faith that was given to us in our baptisms. And when we hear through the word, guess what? We don't even do that on our own. Faith is a gift. But there are wolves. And not just the obvious ones. The ones that are dressed like sheep. Out here trying to break into the sheepfold with these false teachings, trying to deceive you. They don't come in through the door. They climb over the wall. And like I mentioned, there's people in this world telling us we need to be tolerant and accepting of everything. You know, as long as it makes you happy, then it's okay to do. Regardless of what God's word says. You know, we can't pick and choose what we want to believe in here just because it makes us uncomfortable. Because sometimes when we hear God's word, it does make us uncomfortable, doesn't it? Good. It should make us uncomfortable at times. When we see how we need a Savior, we are convicted of our sin. Let's go on to the shepherd. The shepherd is obviously Jesus here. We're going to talk more about the shepherd here in a second. The gatekeeper. Jesus mentions the gatekeeper. This is God the Father. The one who sent his son Jesus into this world to fulfill his plan of salvation. The Father is the one that placed his son in that doorway to the sheep. We see this all over Scripture, of course. It says there in verse 3, to him, meaning the shepherd, the gatekeeper opens. When Jesus was baptized, we heard the Father's voice say, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. You see, Jesus is the sent one. Jesus is the anointed one, anointed by the Father. And again, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up there, and he was talking with Moses and Elijah, and then God said these words, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. The gatekeeper has given this to his son. And then we got the sheep. And of course, we are the sheep. Sheep are not the Einsteins of the animal world. And I don't have to tell you that. But they are not completely stupid. So here is why we are compared to sheep in Scripture. Sheep know their shepherd's voice. They will not follow a stranger. Even Jesus pointed this out. They know their shepherd's voice. Sheep can get anxious and stressed. How many of you get anxious and stressed? Sheep are not meant to carry a load. When was the last time you've seen sheep strapped down with luggage? That's for horses and donkeys and those kinds of animals. Sheep are not meant to carry loads. And we're even told in Scripture to dump those loads of stuff onto Christ because he cares for us. And back in Jesus' day, sheep were prized possessions, which makes this illustration here that Jesus uses all that much more awesome. Shepherds made many sacrifices to make sure their sheep were protected. And then finally, sheep are dependent on the shepherd to take care of them. Now let's look at the actions of the shepherd here that Jesus describes in John chapter 10. The first one is the shepherd enters through the gate. You see, I told you that the gatekeeper is the father. He's the one that puts his son there, anoints him, his son, as the one, the anointed one. The second thing, the shepherd calls his sheep by name. That's how intimately our shepherd knows each and every one of us. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows everything about you. And then we have the shepherd leads the sheep. This is summed up beautifully in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherd enters through the gate. The shepherd calls us by name. The shepherd leads us. And then it says, the shepherd goes before. And I have a picture here that I love. The good shepherd doesn't shoo us out from the sheepfold into the world, left to our own devices, and then stay behind. He goes before us. He guides us. He leads us. He protects us. And not only does he go before us, with the shepherd's staff. He goes before us. Listen to Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we, talking about us here, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Not only is he going before us, he's going before us with your sins on his back. My sins on his back. Every single person that's ever lived in this world, their sins on his back. And he carried them all to Golgotha as he carried his own cross. You know, scripture is always the same, as I tell you, time and time again. It says in Hebrews, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Well, guess what? Jesus went before us, carried his cross to that Mount Calvary, bled, and died for you. That's how much he loves us. He is indeed our good shepherd. Amen.